On October 13, 2010, the Reverend Stan McKay was the guest speaker at a talk organized by the Center for Christian Studies on the topic, Truth and Reconciliation, Where Do We Go From Here? The talk was presented as part of the Center's Mindful Munching series of lunchtime discussions, in which the CCS community gathers to learn, connect, and explore issues of the day. My name is Charlotte Caron. As acting principal of the Center for Christian Studies, I'm glad that Stan McKay is a friend of CCS, and that on this particular Wednesday, he was willing to gather with 65 people at Westminster United Church in Winnipeg to speak about events and understandings related to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Stan McKay was born on Fisher River Cree Nation, attended residential school in Bertel, Manitoba, graduated in theology from the University of Winnipeg, and became the first Aboriginal moderator of the United Church of Canada. Stan has always been a leader in the United Church, in community leadership, in development of All Native Circle Conference, work with the Dr. Jesse Soto Resource Center, and in healthcare. He is an elder, a man of grace and wisdom, a leader in helping the people of the dominant culture understand where we fit into the picture, and what truth and reconciliation means across cultures.
When I agreed to come to the Center for Christian Studies, I understood it was going to be a gathering of six or seven people around a table. But I also recognize, as I see all of you here, that there really hasn't been much opportunity for us to talk since the Truth and Reconciliation meeting this past June. There really hasn't been a momentum built in community, but there's interest, obviously, in looking continuously at this ongoing journey of truth and possibly reconciliation. In preparation for this time, I looked at the mandate for the commission, and I also looked at some other materials that have been around for quite a long time, that are available, I think, to all of us in our various communities. I think this matter is of great significance to this society in which we live, and I invite you to take the time to prepare to be together in a good way. Creator of life, we give thanks for the beauty of this day and for the opportunity to gather in this way. We ask only for growing understanding of each other and the courage to be engaged. The mandate of the commission, available, by the way, on the computer, where I pull this from. The opening paragraph for me is a little confusing, so I think you should hear it. There's an emerging and compelling desire to put the events of the past behind us so that we can work toward a stronger and healthier future. For me, that's kind of a contradiction in terms. I don't think you put history behind you until you've understood it, and even then you live with it. So I sense a desire to escape the truth in that first sentence. It goes on, the truth-telling and reconciliation process as a part of an overall holistic and comprehensive response to the Indian residential school legacy is a sincere indication and acknowledgement of the injustices and harms experienced by Aboriginal people and the need for continued healing. Again, I think that sentence has been put into some context by Commissioner Sinclair, because I believe that one of the stresses that comes out on occasion through the guidelines, the mandate of the commission, is that the healing is for all peoples, not just for Aboriginal peoples, but for all Canadian society. And I expect that's really all I wanted to say today, is that this is about all of us, in my understanding. And I think the commission is now moving carefully in that area. Still not clear, but moving into that area of looking at what it is we're about. Clearly, we have to discover ways to spend time learning together. And so I will attempt to make a few comments that are probably irrelevant, but I want to make them because I think we need to focus a bit on possibilities within this challenge we face. I was at the Truth and Reconciliation gathering, and one day I wasn't dressed warmly enough. It wasn't exactly great weather that one day. But being at the opening ceremony, somebody mentioned, and for me as well, I carry with me from that time the four dramas from the four directions. I think the significance of that practice after prayers and ceremony by the sacred fire was very significant, acknowledging the diversity of the population that is a part of Canada. And I think recognized the calling of peoples together. In most cultures, the sounding of the drum is an indication that we are to come together. This summer, following the Truth and Reconciliation gathering at the Forks, Honorable Justice Murray Sinclair did make a report, a verbal report, to the gathering of the chiefs, the national gathering of the chiefs, which was held here at the Convention Center. And in that report to the AFN General Assembly, he described the mandate very briefly. He said it's to report the complete story of residential schools. He made a few comments about how impossible that task is, but that's what he understood the work of the commission is. And then he ended by saying in that area of his talk, to initiate a process of reconciliation. Very much initiation, a very small beginning. And he made a comment as well that the commission was learning many things that they did not know when they entered the process. Not only about individual experiences, but a major, major concern about the missing children who went to residential schools and disappeared. But there's quite an extensive file they've collected around missing children. The commissioners have been in place for just about a year after a misstep, and the primary task that they have before them is to engage the society at large. Canadian society communicated their superiority, he said, of their children, and then convinced our children of their inferiority. So that's how he drew the equation. So his suggestion is, education brought us to where we are now, and education can take us out of this predicament. So that's the equation he presented to the chiefs. And he suggested the involvement of all of society with a primary focus on the youth, primary focus on how the youth in our society have been impacted by residential schools. In talking to First Nations youth, he said he's trying to convince them it isn't their fault. It isn't their fault that their identity is confused. It isn't their fault that they cannot relate to their parents and grandparents and their family dynamics that are difficult. And he says the other piece around healing is to work with the parents and grandparents, that they too deal with their own guilt and sense of failure. And so he was asking the youth to forgive their parents and their grandparents as a starting point for healing within First Nations communities. He estimated that there were 40,000 people took part in the 4 days at the Forks. And there was one little clip in his report of the Minister of Indian Affairs, Chuck Strahl, in a circle of sharing, where his emotions got to him and he wept. He is no longer the Minister of Indian Affairs. We have repeatedly experienced within government the education and connection with Ministers of Indian Affairs, only to have them shuffled off to Buffalo. We have seen them move out of the area of potential initiatives and human contact, out of office. Governor General Michelle Jean came to the Forks, spoke to the youth, took part in the final day powwow, and supported strongly the TRC. She's no longer the Governor General. So I think what we have are moving chairs, see, in terms of any transitional momentum within society, including First Nations leadership. We have moving people, moving targets, and we never quite understand each other to a point where we can actually engage. I thought an interesting question raised by Murray Sinclair was, should we heal the families first before we engage our energies in reconciliation? Before going out to the society, should we look after ourselves and get into a good space? He never really answers that question. And so I think they're wondering about the seriousness of many people not being involved, choosing opting out, and doing all they can. There are, I gather, 15 people in Winnipeg who are assigned to taking comments from survivors, some located at the Portage Mall and some on Salt Creek Avenue. And they're even going into homes to record experiences of survivors. So I think they're doing all they can, but obviously there are many, many survivors, some of whom I know, who will not participate in this process. One of the more recent pieces of information that is of interest to me was in the Free Press in September 29th. There was an interview with Murray Sinclair as chair of the commission. And he was calling on the provinces to incorporate history of Canada's Aboriginal people and the residential school tragedy into school curriculum. Some of us have been trying to do that for a couple of decades, to try to enrich what is offered to the children in our society. About 15 years ago, when I met with the Minister of Indian Affairs with a group of people and we were pleading for some changes in the curriculum, he dismissed us by saying, education is a provincial mandate. We cannot be involved. Now, I don't believe that to be true. I think it is a provincial mandate, but I think the federal government has some duties in matters of Canadian history and in light of what we're experiencing in the society in these days. So I want to get behind Murray Sinclair on this call. And I think if the churches have any role to play, it'll be to ask this province, and I gather some people you're visiting from other provinces, to make changes within the curriculum that are realistic and hopeful. And I think it has to start at preschool. I think the stories and the storybooks, the earliest encounters children have with Canadian history, should include some balance. He commented on this document, a statement by Stephen Harper, just over 2 years ago. And Judge Sinclair is asking that the words have some meaning, that they be given some meaning. The Government of Canada sincerely apologizes and asks the forgiveness of the Aboriginal peoples of this country for failing them so profoundly. You would think that statement would have an impact on policy. You would think that this would begin a movement within the bureaucracy for change. But I think we need to act with some significant pattern and strategy. In the end of the interview, Judge Sinclair says, it is very unlikely that within the budget and within the timeline, that the commission can accomplish what it's been asked to do. And so I have been foolish enough to respond to the invitation today that asked, what next? Well, I think all of you have some ideas, and I encourage you to engage your ideas. Because systemically, I think we need to intervene. And probably it might have been better for us today to be out in the leaves rolling in the on the ground and plotting some great act of change, rather than sitting in this kind of space. But I want to say that I believe systemic change will come through networking. Networking, networking, networking. Because 5 years of action by the commission clearly is not going to impact the society to any great extent by itself. I want to suggest that the education program from K to 12 must include serious conversation, which includes some conversation with First Nations elders. I believe there must be contact between the children and the young people and First Nations community. The same holds true for colleges and universities, and anyone who is in a professional role in our society, I think, must be invited and be engaged in this history. There must be a context and a philosophy of life that changes, transforms governments, social workers, lawyers and judges, resource development officers, economic development, churches and interfaith communities, and I think we must make networks that are international. I know the Commission has already had some contact with the United Nations, but the agonizing struggle of Indigenous peoples is a global issue. It's global. And I would be happy if the Commission's role with the Métis, the Inuit, First Nations, and with the whole country would be very inclusive, and that we'd get over some of this political division within our own camps. But we also must alter the Canadian democratic process, which does not serve us well. My main sense of hope would be linked to the possibility of the commissioners pulling up the Royal Commission on Aboriginal Peoples and putting it in many people's hands. I think that report, that work, is significant. There's good research. There's a lot of data and information that has never been seen in Canadian schools or in institutions of higher learning. I think the Royal Commission report cannot be allowed to die. And it would give a great deal of background to what the Commission is now doing. So today I want to encourage partnerships, the coordinating of huge networks of volunteers, as there were at the Forks when the gathering was here. I want to challenge post-secondary students and institutions to participate in the research and then the application of the learnings to our society. I think there shouldn't be one regional, one center nationally to record and compile all this information. I think every region of the country needs access and involvement in documenting and maintaining contact with what we learn from one another. So I would encourage you to become involved in the research and transformation of the non-Aboriginal community and the Aboriginal community by engaging in what I learned in Saskatchewan this past month. One of our teachers at a gathering around treaty relationships from one of the First Nation communities in Saskatchewan talked about courageous engagement. Courageous engagement. And I think that's what follows the meeting at the Forks, is a need for courageous engagement. And Greg's offer today to share his story as a survivor, I think there's a richness in that. There are people risking and offering. I think as churches and as people in the society, we can receive those gifts and take it on. I mentioned the Royal Commission. Well, way back about 12 years ago, they had a book entitled Towards Reconciliation. When the Royal Commission was working, they did some work around reconciliation. But all of it was basically in camera. The society has never been aware of what they were doing as a part of this process. One of the presenters says, we don't need more laws in Canada. We need relationships. So it's true that we cannot legislate justice as we would have it. We must work together toward an understanding of transformation. The moderator of the United Church, Bill Phipps, says our burdens include dishonoring the depths of the struggles of First Nations peoples and the richness of your gifts. We seek the Creator's forgiveness and healing as we take steps toward building respectful, compassionate, and loving relationships. So the United Church has made two apologies, and we're counting. We're going to expect another one shortly. No, what I'm saying is I think that the words are not enough. The intention at the moment was good, as was the residential school itself. In my 5 years in residential school, many, many staff had a good heart, came from a good place, saw themselves involved in Christian mission with deep dedication. Now we've learned that that was problematic because they were in a system that could not possibly provide the results they hoped for. The imposition of truth from one cultural perspective is problematic in the modern world. But I understand the complexity of not seeing what's happening close to home. I've been involved in the United Church for almost 40 years. I'm trying to get away. But the reason I'm trying to get away is that I want a different perspective. What I've understood is this. When I first went into the northern churches to work for the church, I understood the word that the church was using in its international involvement was we'll be partners in mission. Everyone around the church was talking about being partners in mission. But they never said it to us in First Nations community. And I believe to this day that the struggle is, how do we form partnership? What does it require to be sisters and brothers after all? So I think that we live in a multicultural, multi-faith community. We can only learn about partnerships with all of our neighbors and with First Nations peoples. It's harder because the turning of the mind requires some painful involvement in our own history. So I didn't go to Blue Rodeo, and although I love her, I didn't go to hear Buffy St. Marie because I wasn't in that place when I was at the Forks. I went to part of the powwow because the drum can only get you to dance whatever mood you're in. But I think the Commission's going to be desperate. I'm not sure what they'll do in the Arctic. What can they do? They can bring Susan Aglukkaq. They can bring some good entertainers to the Arctic. But how do they inform the Canadian society of what the Inuit and the Northern peoples have experienced in the loss of culture and the sense of being placed as people who are without worth? I think the challenge is very great. So what I want to say to you today is that I'm willing to work. I'm willing to work. And as I get older, I realize that my contribution is small, but I'm willing to work because I see in our grandchildren the possibility for a human community. And I don't want them to inherit a broken understanding of life, one driven by competition and anger and adversarial styles. I would want them to find a way to be who they are with all honesty and dignity in a respectful place where all of our children can share life. I think what we do must be done in collaboration. Our networks can't simply be from the wider society. I think we have to draw in, and I'm very happy that sisters and brothers from First Nation community are here today. I hope you'll all swarm them and gather their wisdom. No, that wouldn't be the thing to do, but I think to engage with First Nations people, Inuit, Métis, and others, would be an important way for the faith communities to journey, collaboration, and take on the long-term task that is before us. And I would just end by saying the other network that we need to build clearly in Canadian society is the concept that Saskatchewan has worked so well on. We are all treaty people.
I was actually just going to ask you about...
Okay, well, I'm prepared to do a 3-day workshop. I think the piece that I've learned from Treaty 4 about covenant making is that in signing Treaty 4 in the Qu'Appelle Valley, the elders say that they were told that when the treaty party arrived in Qu'Appelle, the elders took the leaders away for 4 days of ceremony. And the treaty commissioners were beyond themselves. They were wondering why the people all left. But they went away to prepare for treaty making. And their understanding of the treaties is it's tripartite: the creator, the Queen's representative, and the people, the First Peoples. Now, the fact that the government officials understood this to be a land grab arrangement, of course, breaks some concept of the covenant, but I think as treaty people, we must recapture through biblical study, through whatever prayer we do, to begin to understand covenant relationships. One of the better ones is in Genesis because it's inclusive of all creation. Later on, it gets a little bit isolated into humans and their relationship. So I think that in addition to the residential school issue, if we can marry that with the environmental crisis and learn from each other about caring for the earth, we will capture many good learnings from each other. And that's what I would long for. So in addition to pounding the bricks for education, Doug, I'm also now working on treaty relationships. And I think that's where we can walk through many, many issues together. So the prayer says, by your spirit and imagination, light the path to right relationships. Break the stereotypes. Banish inaction. Bring justice. End the long apartedness that has twisted our souls. Creator, help us to find your direction. Help us to risk building right relationships. Be with us as we work to courageous conversation. We want humble engagement with those who are other. Give us courage this day, creativity, and commitment to our shared journey. Thank you for coming, and through the Center for Christian Studies, for arranging this time. Thank you.